You know, when I ask the Lord about what to preach on Sunday, I never pray and ask Him to help me preach a good sermon. I always pray that He'll help me point somebody toward Jesus or preach a sermon that'll help somebody get closer to Him. And sometimes He uses different things to tell me what to preach. There's a guy on the radio that I like to listen to. He's on CBS, and he's sort of a commentator on the news. He doesn't really report the news. He reports strange stuff, and then he always has a moral that goes along with the story that he's reporting. His name's Dave Ross. Some of you might know who I'm talking about, but he had a story not too long ago that, and he said before he read the story, he said, you know, sometimes news is complicated. That's because we read it so fast. He says, I'm going to make it simple today, so I'm going to read it very slowly. And so he told the story very slowly so those of us that was listening could understand it. But it's supposedly a true story that takes place over in England, in the mountains of England, where there were several flocks of sheep that were grazing together. And one sheep decides to run, as they sometimes do, and the whole herd, if you call, or flock, the whole flock, I guess, followed the sheep. There was about 450 altogether. And before the shepherds that were there could intervene, this one runaway sheep ran over the edge of a cliff and plunged to its death, and all 449 others followed that one sheep over the edge of the cliff. And most of them died. Now, the ones at the end of the line sort of had a fluffy pile to land on, and they survived, but most of them died. And so he had several morals to go along with this supposedly true story. One of his morals was, sometimes it's better to be last, because you could land on the pile. Another one was, if you don't know where you're going, don't be first in line. And the other one was, it's wise to pick who you will follow. It's wise to pick who you will follow. So this morning, I'm going to key in on that last one. It's wise to pick who you will follow. And I'm going to preach a sermon, as you notice in the bulletin, I've entitled, and it comes from this verse that we read from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. And of course, that verse is comparing mankind to sheep. And this verse is true. It was true when Isaiah wrote it thousands of years ago. It's just as true today. Every person has gone astray. Every person have turned to their own ways. We go back and we read in the first book of the Bible about the man that God created called Adam. He made Adam and placed him in a perfect place, the Garden of Eden. He said, I only got one rule as you live in this place. I've made everything here for you except for the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat of the fruit of that tree because in the day that you eat of it, you will die. You can have all the others. I made all the others for you to enjoy. But this one tree, I don't want you to pick the fruit. I don't want you to eat the fruit. So Adam had a choice. He could either follow God and God's way, or he could follow his own way. And you know the choice that Adam made. He decided that he knew better than God. And isn't it funny? I mean, I think Adam was one of the wisest men that ever lived. I know Solomon was a wise man because God gave him wisdom. But scientists tell us that, you know, we only use about 10% of our brain. Some people, I wonder if they use that much, but we only use about 10% of our brain. And they say that that has occurred over time. I believe Adam used all of his because he was the first man created. I think he was a smart man, but he made a decision that he knew better than God, and he decided to go his way instead of God's way. He went astray. And that is the basic, most simplest definition of sin that I know. is that when we decide to go our own way, when we decide to go astray, instead of going God's way, instead of doing what God told us to do. And so every person that's been born since Adam has followed him, has followed Adam. Just like this news story. Just like all 449 sheep followed that one sheep over the edge of the cliff to their death, most of us, all of us, are following Adam or have followed Adam. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we are followers of Adam. We are all sinners. And the Bible says that we are being led to death. Just like those 449 sheep. Just like those 449 followed that one over the cliff and ended up dying, most of them. So we are following Adam to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so Adam was a sinner. We are descendant from him. We are following him. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we are following Adam. Sin came into the world through him. We are following him, and we are following him to death. Now, in the story that Mr. Ross told of the 450 sheep, no one intervened. I'm sure the shepherds wanted to intervene because those sheep were their livelihood, but they could not get out in front of them fast enough. They could not get out in front of them to stop the stampede, if sheep stampede. I don't know if you would call sheep stampeding or not. But they could not stop the rush of those sheep over the cliff till their death. And so they all died. Now, in our story, in mankind's story, I've got better news. We were following Adam to death, but somebody intervened. That somebody was God. God looked down from heaven. He loved us, and he intervened, because the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to die he doesn't want anybody to die spiritually. We're all going to die physically one day or another if the Lord tarries. But God doesn't want anybody to die and pay the price of sin. I've mentioned this before, and you know it. When Adam ate the fruit, he did not die physically right away. He lived outside of the garden. I mean, we read about his experiences outside of the garden. The sweat of his brow, the earth would bring forth thorns. And he did not take a bite of that fruit, whatever it was, and just immediately kill over and die physically. But he died spiritually, because when he took that fruit, when he disobeyed God, God said, "You got to leave." And he kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. He put cherubim with flaming swords to the entrance of the garden so they could not get back in. And they had to leave the presence of God. In the garden, they enjoyed fellowship. In the garden, they walked together and talked. But because of sin, they had to leave the garden. They died spiritually. That's what the penalty of sin is. Being separated from God now and forever. That's what the penalty of sin is. And by the way, that's the worst part about hell. I believe there is a literal hell. I believe there's a place of fire, the bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I know there's preachers and churches today that have done away with hell. I wish I could do away with hell. I wish there was no hell. I wish nobody had to go to hell. But my book says, my Bible says, there is a hell. And everybody that denies Christ and won't come to him will spend eternity in hell. And the worst part about hell is not the fire, not the bottomless pit, not the worm that dieth not. The worst part about hell is God is not there. That's the worst part about hell. And so when the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, What it means is God's not willing that anybody go to hell. God's not willing to anybody go to hell. And so when he saw that we were following Adam into sin, and that sin was leading to death, God says, I'm going to intervene. The shepherds could not stop the sheep from running over the edge of the cliff and plunging to the death. But God says, I'm going to intervene because I don't want anybody to perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he intervened, and God sent the good shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. He said, I know my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice as I call them by name, and I lead them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So I want to tell you this morning, we're a sheep. And we're following the lead sheep, Adam. We're following it to death. But God intervened. He sent the good shepherd who loves us, the good shepherd who does not want us to die. And he comes and he calls us by name and he says, follow me, follow me, and I will lead you a different way. I'll lead you to a different place. Jesus talked about the two ways in Matthew chapter 7. He said, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You say, just a minute, preacher, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. I got a question. I got a question. You said the wages of sin is death. Even though the shepherd comes and calls, you mean we can just follow him and he can lead us to life? Doesn't sin still have to be paid for? Doesn't the wages of sin still have to be accounted for? How can we just follow the good shepherd? Doesn't the price of sin have to be paid? You're right. Yes, it does. The price of sin has to be paid. And that's exactly what the good shepherd did for us. That's why he can lead us to life. Because he paid the price of our sin. We read it in that verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I don't know about you, but I can get excited about the last part of that verse. The Lord hath laid on him, on the good shepherd, on Jesus Christ, on the Son of God. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All. You listen to me, God just didn't pick out some people and say, I want those people to go to heaven and I want those people to go to hell. And so I'll take all the sins of these people that I want to go to heaven and I'll lay them on the good shepherd. I'll lay them on the Lamb of God. I'll lay them on my Son. That's not what that verse says. That verse says the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All. Oh, there's not a single human being that God left out. That day on Calvary when Jesus hung on the cross, God took the sins of every single person and he put them on his Son. And when Jesus died on Calvary, he paid the price for every person's sin. There's not a sinner excluded. There's not a person left out. You can't say this morning, oh no, God can't save me. I'm too bad of a sinner. I'm too wicked of a sinner. No, my Bible says that he took all that sin. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter how wicked. And he laid it on Jesus. And Jesus paid the price for every sin, every sin. So that's why, as the good shepherd, he can come and says, follow me. My sheep hear my voice. So come follow me. I'll lead you in a different way. I'll lead you to a different place. Come follow me. So the question is, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? Like that guy said, if you don't know where you're going, you need to make sure you pick your leader wisely. So who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow Adam this morning? Or are you going to follow Christ? I know there's people that say, well, listen, preacher, I can't be all bad because I know a lot of people, they're worse than I am, and I'll be okay. I got some news for you. You're not going to be okay. You may know a lot of people. That's why the Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to death. And there's many there be that go in thereat. There's a lot of people thinking, well, I'll be okay in hell because I know a lot of people that are going there. You listen to me, you will not be okay in hell. Hell is a terrible, terrible place. Hell is a place of real fire. It's a place of darkness. It's a place that God did not create for mankind. He created for Satan and all his demons. And he doesn't want anybody to go there. Make it more personal. He doesn't want you to go there. And if you go to hell, it won't be because God wanted you to go there. It won't be because God sent you there. It's because you will not come and follow the shepherd. You will not come to Christ. I know people that say, well, look, I won't be the first one there. And they may go back to the story of the sheep and say, by the time I get there, there'll be so many people there, I'll just land on top of the pile. That may be true of the sheep, but I want to remind you, hell's a bottomless pit. There will not be a pile that you'll fall on to keep you safe. You'll just keep falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. And you may be here this morning and say, well, listen, I got plenty of time. I'm a young person. Or I'm in good health. I have months and years to live. I'll make this decision some other time. Listen, when are you going to fall off the edge of the cliff? If you're following Adam in sin, when is God going to take you? Tammy sang the song, for a Christian, you win either way because, if you stay here, good. But if you die, you go to heaven. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to go into eternity. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So the question is, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow Adam, sin, and death? Or are you going to follow Christ, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, into heaven? And we didn't read verse 5, but let me read verse 5 from Isaiah chapter 53, the verse before the one we read. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow Adam, or are you going to follow Christ? Are you going to follow death, or are you going to follow life? Are you going to be on a road where there's many people, or are you going to be on the road that there's few? Are you going to follow it to be separated from God forever and ever, or are you going to follow Christ and live with him forever and ever and ever? Now listen, that's it in its simplest form. Sin is going astray. Sin is deciding not to do it God's way, to do it my way. And every single one of us are sinners. We were following Adam over the cliff to death. God intervened. He sent a good shepherd to not only lead us, but to pay the price for our sin. So we have a choice to make. I'm glad in this room this morning, many have already made that choice. You've chosen Christ. You've decided to come to Christ. There may be some here this morning that's not done that. Listen, would you say this morning, okay, preacher, I choose Jesus. I don't want to go my own way. I don't want to follow Adam in sin and death. I want to choose Christ. What do I need to do? Number one, admit you're a sinner. Just admit you're a sinner. You say, how many sins does it take to make a sinner? Just one. If we break the law on one point, we're guilty of all. If we break one commandment, we're guilty of all. One sin makes us a sinner. So if I lie, I'm a sinner. If I disobeyed my mom and dad because I did not honor them, that makes me a sinner. Makes me a sinner. I'm a sinner. So admit you're a sinner. Number two, believe this book when it says that Jesus died for you. Believe the Bible when it says that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Believe that he did that for you. And then number three, confess him. Call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a sinner. I know I deserve death. I know I deserve separation from you. But I believe the Bible when it says that Jesus died for me. And right now, dear Jesus, I'm asking you to save me. It doesn't have to be in those exact words. But you got to call and ask him to save you. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you've never done that, why? Why wouldn't you do it now? Why would you leave this place this morning not having asked Jesus to be your Savior? You don't know when your life is going to end. I know you're young. I know your health is good. It doesn't matter. Life can end at any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? I mean, your cliff could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. It could be before we meet next. This may be the last time that you hear the gospel. This may be the last time you have an opportunity to come to Christ. Why would you not do it this morning? What's keeping you? What's holding your back? I want to tell you, whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This morning, I beg you to come this morning and ask Jesus to save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making it so simple that as Adam preaches it to the juniors, they can understand it just like we can. And so I pray this morning, the choice is clear. We follow Adam to sin and death. We follow Christ to life. Help us, those that are here that have never made that choice, to make this morning the choice for Jesus Christ. To admit that they're a sinner, believe that he died for them, and to call and ask him to save them. The Bible says that if we'll call, he will save. If we'll come to him, he'll no wise cast us out. And so if there's just one or two or three, however many's here that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come in just a second as we sing the invitation, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. For the many Christians that are here, thank you for that day that we made the choice. Thank you for that day that we recognized that we were a sinner and that we needed a Savior. And we called on Christ and he saved us. And we have heaven to look forward to. We don't have to walk this earth by ourselves. We walk it with the Holy Spirit. And one day we'll walk the street of gold. And so help us to rejoice in that. Again, Father, please bless this invitation. Again, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, help them to put aside everything that they've used for an excuse and come this morning. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.